This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Starting January 1st, a new tax code goes into effect for the Republic of Mexico. Our neighbor to the south is looking to plug holes, increase the government's income, and shift the tax burden to a more wealthy part of Mexico. Here in San Antonio, we are linked to Mexico's economy through business, industry, and tourism shoppers, and we have benefited from those ties with Mexico and our shared cultural understanding. So what can we expect to happen with this new tax code? We're joined by Steve Niven. He's the chief economist for the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to the Source, Steve.
Thank you, David. It's good to be with you again.
You've written in the past about how San Antonio is doing so well with shoppers and tourism and people moving to San Antonio from Mexico. How do you see the what's happening with Mexico's tax code impacting San Antonio?
Well, I think it'll state the obvious, probably have a favorable impact to San Antonio. When we did our study looking at the impact of Mexican national spending on San Antonio and about 12 other counties as well, and doing the research for that and looking through other studies as well and surveys, Nat, one of the main reasons they come to San Antonio and to other areas in South Texas is for shopping, and part of the reason they come for shopping is to find things that they can't find in Mexico and to find them at better prices. And so this will certainly, I think, help continue with that trend and help boost it a little bit as well.
So in Mexico, they have a national sales tax. It's the IVA, 16%, except if you're on a border state with the United States, then also in Baja California, and Baja California, sir, it is 11%, right? And that to give them some competitiveness with the United States in our border states. Now it's going to go to 16%. So they're going to that could drive more shoppers into South Texas.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we some of the stories that I've been reading have already seen that a little bit with the Thanksgiving. I know it hasn't quite kicked in yet, as I understand it, but people are getting a little bit of a head start on it. And again, one of the big reasons they come up here is because they can. One, find things that they can't, and they can't find in Mexico, and they can find them at better deals. And if they can, sales tax is part of that deal. And if you know, that'll just should help drive more of them up into South Texas and into to San Antonio for their spending, particularly around the holiday seasons.
And in places like Laredo on the U.S. side, they have the number one Walmart retailer in the country. Because they benefit from shoppers coming across from Nuevo Laredo to shop there and then go bring their groceries back across the border. And also in Mexico, they're including junk food in the sales tax. So now there's going to be a 16% sales tax on Coke and candy and confectionaries and things like that in Mexico. So that's another driver for people to come across into Texas to do their shopping, and Texas gets that sales tax.
They might get some sales taxes. Some of those sales taxes, they might get.
Right, they can file a form and they can get their sales tax
right
back, but generally on grocery shopping,
right,
not so much. Mainly on big ticket items.
Right. You're right. Those border counties benefit greatly from that. I mean, Hidalgo County was the one that really stood out in our study. In 2012, they were spending over $863 million. I'll get it right here in a minute. Spending in 2012 in Hidalgo and, of course, El Paso, Webb counties had about half of that much, but then Bexar County at about $374 million. So, it's a big boost to those areas, to the economies of South Texas, and you're right. I think the grocery shopping now we'll boost it. Now the studies that we've seen, most of the spending that they do is around apparels and clothing and that type of stuff, and around spending on electronics. But like you said, a lot of them that live right there on the border will come across the border and shop at Walmart and other places as well. And I suspect even as they come into San Antonio, they're not going to come up to San Antonio to buy sodas for the sole purpose of that. But as they come up to buy clothing and other things, they might buy some additional sodas and groceries and that while they're here. And so that'll, again, just boost spending, I think, a little bit more.
So, Steve, you're the chief economist for the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. What are you going to be keeping your eye on with this tax overhaul as it goes into effect?
Well, hopefully we'll be watching to see if we see more people coming up, and if we see an increase in bigger per capita spending. I saw one report the other day projecting about a 5% increase for the border communities in spending due to the sales tax increase in northern Mexico. If we assume that holds for San Antonio, it might be a little less, since it's a little bit further to travel. We're probably looking at somewhere in the area of a $15-20 million increase.
Are there any concerns, or are you aware of people, because Mexico has been seeing an economic upturn, they've been doing really well. Could this put a damper on Mexico's economy?
Well, I think if you looked at any increase in taxes could put a damper on. I'm not sure that just the sales tax increase alone would have a huge effect on Mexico's economy. But as I understand it, there's also some other taxes, or several other taxes.
Sure, their banking system is being taxed more. The higher earners are being taxed more. There's sweeping reforms happening in Mexico's tax code, and it's going to we have to wait and see what how these things are impacted.
Right, and I've hearing a little bit, just bits and pieces here of companies now looking to possibly move. I have no idea if any of them would come up here. I think it'd be something that they would at least look at. So we'd have to keep an eye on that.
Right. Well, we've heard people in Mexico say that San Antonio is the safest city in Mexico. They're very attracted to come here, and that they feel like we have a cultural connection. I think that might be the case. We'll have to keep our eyes open and see what happens. I want to let you go, Steve Niven. Thank you for participating with us. We're going to continue the conversation with a couple more guest experts on the Mexico-U.S. economy exchange. Steve Niven from the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
And we're going to continue our conversation. If you got a question or a comment about what you think is happening with Mexico's tax reform, are you happy with this tax reform? Because a lot of this money is going to go into social programs and infrastructure building up in Mexico, so we're told. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we will be talking about the history and architectural highlights that you'll find on Fredericksburg Road. But right now, we are focused on Mexico's new tax code. And we are going to bring into the conversation Pete Garcia. He's the executive director of the United States Mexico Chamber of Commerce, the Woodlands and Gulf Coast chapter. And also Tom Fullerton. He is a professor and the America's Trade Chair at the University of Texas at El Paso. Welcome to The Source.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Pete.
So, Professor Fullerton, let me ask you, the thing about this tax code switch that's happening, it was passed in Mexico in November. That doesn't give a whole lot of time for a January startup. But then also, we know that Mexico basically shuts down for the bulk of December. So will this be a messy transition, do you think?
No, it shouldn't be a messy transition administratively, and that's because it represents a 5 percentage point increase to the existing value-added tax that is charged in, you know, in border towns and border cities along the northern border of Mexico. Essentially what's going to happen is that the cash registers will be reprogrammed to charge 16% instead of charging 11%, and that's eminently feasible.
And but there are a lot of other changes that will be happening through Mexico's banking system and also the way that they deal with maquiladoras.
That's true, and that will cause, let's see, more confusion and require a lot more adjustment. And in fact, I think, let's see, a lot of the rules are going to take some time to hammer out. In terms of the value-added tax, I think the big impacts are going to come from all the negative publicity that is swirled around it. And I think there's probably already a lot of consumers that are crossing the border to shop in Texas because of all the anger, that's directed towards the federal government and, this new tax bill that was, the new administration managed to herd through both the House and the Senate in Mexico City, received a lot of negative publicity and a lot of customers that might have been content just to buy their goods under the existing tax rate in northern Mexico are probably preemptively jumping the gun and buying things in the United States that they really are not going to get that much of a price advantage from doing so.
Pete Garcia, he's the executive director for the United States Mexico Chamber of Commerce, Woodlands and Gulf Coast Chapter. Pete, what are you looking for with Mexico's new tax system or overhaul? What is your eye?
Well, shopping has been, a great way to get out of town for people from Mexico for many, many years. I mean, most of the shopping malls, the outlet malls, they have travel packages already put together with hotel discounts and shopping coupon discounts. So they've been promoted with. They have offices in Mexico. They offer, travel incentives for travel agencies and companies to send customers up to shop. Because it's more than just shopping. It's also taking a vacation. And, that's a big part of taking a vacation is going shopping. Now, the tax implication, I think you will see, as just mentioned before, I think some of it will be, I am going to take my money somewhere else instead of, paying the taxes here. But eventually the taxes do go back into helping the infrastructure, helping, fill the government coffers where they're short on tax collection today. That's part of the reason for the entire reform. What it means for Texas, though, is a great opportunity, something to promote other than just say, come shopping, get a 10% discount at premium outlet malls or at the Gallery in Houston or at North Star Mall in San Antonio. Now you can say, and by the way, save on taxes. So it's just another thing that you can market with, and I'm sure a lot of the offices down there that are promoting shopping are already gearing up and making sure that, particularly North Mexico, really, because it only affects North. This new tax, Mexico City was already at 16%. It's really the northern Mexico, but those are also some of our busiest shoppers that cross the border, either whether it be directly on the border, or if they're catching an airplane to fly into San Antonio, Houston, or Austin, or even as far as Dallas to go shopping. Like I say, it is a great attempt to promote. And as you see, once we get past Christmas, I think come January, February, which are typically slow months for hotels, airlines, shopping centers, I think that's going to see the biggest marketing efforts on the other side of the border, and fly, stay at a hotel, spend your weekend there, and do some fabulous shopping. And, they're coming for the same things. Is they're getting the latest electronic gadget or the brand new, tailor-made golf club or some new electronic or the new package. So they're going to be coming for the same reasons. I think the numbers will increase, though, because now they have a value. Now they have an added incentive, and that's, I'm going to save another 5%.
Right. So let me ask you, Professor Fullerton, about the maquiladoras. Now, since the 1960s, that's when Mexico began to allow these foreign-owned factories that will import components for assembly and then export them as finished products. And we've seen a boom with that along the Texas-Mexico border. But tax is going to go up to 16%. But that tax is rebatable. But the question is, you know, it gets caught up in the system and you may lose that money for an entire year. So business operators are concerned about that, right?
That's correct. And it's probably going to affect the smaller maquiladoras more than it will the large, you know, multinational corporate maquiladoras, because they will have to put that money into the system up front, and it's going to be gone for a certain period of time, which essentially raises the cost of all of those imported inventory components that eventually get assembled into other intermediate goods that are then shipped back to the United States. And the other thing that it does is it increases the paperwork headache associated with doing business in Mexico. It's ironic because one of the things that Mexico has been benefiting from is all of the red tape associated with all of the rule changes in mainland China. Well, now Mexico has increased the paperwork burden, and essentially losing one of the advantages it had internationally compared to other places in the world by doing this. So this was a needless complication in terms of how maquiladoras do business. It's going to raise the cost of importing inventories into Mexico, and it's something that ultimately is not going to serve very many purposes. It is going to generate some marginal additional tax revenues, but not all that much because, so many of these components are going to be exported back out of the country. And so it's a needless paperwork headache that is going to alienate business opinion with respect to Mexico. But that is the decision that the Peña Nieto administration has taken. And it's one that is in line with the long-run history of the PRI party in Mexico. And from that perspective, a lot of people were not surprised by it.
Let's get a caller on the air. The number is 614-8980, and Samer is on the line. Samer, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Appreciate the pickup. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay, go right ahead, Sam.
So you guys have been talking basically about the monetary side, the increased retail sales and possible sales tax revenue for the city of San Antonio, which is all great. But what about the cultural gap? Most of the nationals coming over are a privileged few of the upper echelons of Mexican society. And I've talked to a lot of retailers in the Stone Oak area. That's where the majority of the nationals are kind of buying houses. And it seems like the retailers love their money, but off record, they will tell you that there's a big cultural gap as far as the consumer mentality of the nationals compared to people like who are, let's say, this might not be the most politically correct, but
so Sam, what are you trying to get at? I mean, the Mexican shoppers, they come up here, they come from the upper class of Mexico, and they can be kind of demanding when they get into a retail situation.
And there seems to be a resentment brewing here. So if there's going to be more Mexican nationals coming here because of the increase in taxes, how are we going to culturally deal with that in the city?
Okay. Okay, Samer, thank you for that question. I appreciate it. And so we'll see Dan over with the executive director of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. What do you think about that?
Oh, this is Pete.
Pete, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
No problem. One of the things that before I started up this chapter here, one of the things that I did was launch Continental Airlines international flights into Mexico and throughout Latin America. We opened up about 75 cities in about 10 years and many, many different cultures. And I created a program called the Latinization Program, which is really to educate our customer service agents, our reservations agents, our marketing people on the cultural differences. And once you understand the cultural differences, then you can accept it. And I think that's probably what most of the shopping centers are doing today, is they're making sure that their employees are familiar with the customs. It's just different. It's like when we go to Cancun from here. It is a different culture. And how have they adapted to all of the Americans going to Cancun and staying on their beaches and lending, you know, spending their money? Well, they've adapted to it very well. Usually the dollar amount will help.
Right. There's no motivator like a profit line.
It helps people learn to do more business.
Well, San Antonio seems well positioned to deal with that cultural line. We do have a lot of bilingualism here in San Antonio. Today, I learned that Phoenix announced it was for the first time opening a trade office in Mexico City. And so there are more cities that are trying to be competitive in this way. But, you know, in places like Phoenix and Arizona, if you speak Spanish openly in a store, you get a lot of dirty looks. Not here in San Antonio, in South Texas. Professor Fullerton, do you think that there's going to be more competition for these dollars coming from Mexico?
Well, there is going to be more competition for those dollars coming from Mexico. And in terms of the border economies like Brownsville, Laredo, McAllen, and El Paso, there, if you speak English in retail operations, a lot of times the customers speaking English will get curious looks from both the staff and the other customers, because if you go into South Brownsville, South Laredo, South McAllen, or South El Paso, it's almost like those are monolingual outposts of Latin America.
Well, they all speak the same language, and the language of business. And there's a lot of activity. I didn't even get into the fact that that there's a mandatory use of customs agents for any goods imported has been eliminated. That could also be something that could help trade between the two countries, even though there's a lot more red tape.
A lot more red tape going on. I think for customers, a lot of that's going to be transparent. They'll, you know, if they want to, they can take advantage of the Money Fiestos program to get sales tax refunds.
Absolutely. All right. So, Professor Fullerton, I want to thank you for joining us here on The Source from the University of Texas at El Paso. Pete Garcia, Executive Director of the United States Mexico Chamber of Commerce Woodlands and Gulf Coast Chapter. When we come back from this news break, we're going to be talking about the history up and down Fredericksburg Road. Be sure to tune in for that. This is The Source.